What's up? I'm Anthony Cavon. I play Q on Netflix's EXO Kitty, and this is Young Entertainment Mac.
I'm really excited to speak with you and to learn about the new series. It's actually been quite a bit of time since I personally spoke with you. You spoke with Young Entertainment Mag within the last couple of years, but I think I did one of the first interviews with you at the very beginning of your Love Victor journey. So it's been like 2 to 3 years
yeah.
now. It's pretty crazy.
Ever, yeah. Well, how are you? Nice to see you.
I'm good. How are you? You're obviously doing great.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing the best I can.
Well, congratulations on all these new projects that you've been a part of and being part of the Netflix family. Now you've gone from Hulu to Netflix, and that's quite an impressive resume for sure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it means a lot. Yeah, it's very exciting. I do miss my Hulu fam, but I'm happy to join the Netflix family.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited about your new series. As we mentioned, now you're part of the Netflix family, and Netflix definitely has a big family of memorable characters and memorable series. And this series of the To All the Boys series is pretty huge and has a huge fan base around Netflix. This is the fourth iteration that Netflix has been doing throughout the series.
So there were three films, and this is the spin-off series.
So that's really, really exciting. We wanted to ask you, how familiar were you with the first three movies or even with the book series for To All the Boys?
I hadn't read the book series, but of course I had heard about the movies. They were all over the place, and they really like took Netflix by storm. It was pretty cool to see like how it all played out from like 2018 to 2021, like just how massive these films were. And so like when I found out that I would be a part of that universe, I was obviously very excited. I do have to be honest, I did not watch all of the films until I found out I was a part of the show. I know, terrible of me, but as soon as I found out I was in the running for the show, I watched all of them in one night, and I was like, okay, I understand why now. This is like such a freaking like cult followed show or a series. So I fell in love with all the characters. I fell in love with the story and with, you know, the idea of, you know, pushing that Asian American Pacific Islander like representation. And I wanted to be a part of that wave. So I was really, really pumped when I found out I got to be a part of the show.
Great. And that's a great thing that you mentioned about all the different, there's so many different elements of this series that I think viewers really enjoyed and also connected with as well. So what can you tell us about the character that you play in EXO Kitty? And can you give us a little bit of insight of how EXO Kitty is a bit different from what we've seen so far from the series? Obviously this is a series rather than movies, and this is looking at from the POV of a different character, but what can you tell us about the show and your character in it?
Yeah, so without giving too much away, the show is, you know, it's about Kitty this time. So the first three films were Lara Jean's love story, and Kitty kind of took a backseat in that. However, she was, you know, the catalyst in, you know, Lara Jean's love story. She is the matchmaker. She's the one that put everybody together. And so it's kind of like her turn now to have her own love story. So it follows Kitty, you know, going after her long distance boyfriend, Day, who we met in the third film when they went on vacation, and her journey throughout, you know, going to school at KISS and, you know, finding her own set of friends and like her own, you know, partner. And it's really different from the movies, I will have to say. It's still obviously going to be within the same vein. It's Jenny Han, you know, it's going to be cute, and it's going to be really fun to watch, but it is a completely different character now. So I'm excited for people to kind of see Kitty in a different light. As far as my character, I play Q, serves as Kitty's like confidant of the group, is the only other American kid of the group. So Kitty kind of has like a sense of familiarity with him. And he kind of serves as like a confidant, kind of like if there were an angel and a devil on her shoulders, he would be the angel. Someone to kind of like level her out in a way. And I think he's really important to the group dynamic in that sense, because everyone has very chaotic energy and a lot of craziness going on. And I think Q is like the only one that kind of centers everybody and keeps them grounded. So I'm excited for people to see that side. And it's kind of different from what we've seen before, because, you know, my character on Love, Victor, Raheem was a very like outwardly spoken and super flamboyant and very like just unapologetically himself. And Q's a little bit more reserved. He doesn't let all his cards out on the table. And I'm just like kind of excited for people to see like a different side of, you know, what I can do and what I can bring to a character. So
that's a really interesting point about how you mentioned you've played a range of different characters. Some are more extroverted, some are more introverted and a little more grounded. So one thing that I love about all of your characters is that they seem like they fit right in with the group, even though we meet them, like your character in Love, Victor, we met him in season 2, and this is another iteration of the To All the Boys series. But it seems like your characters, they fit right in amongst the entire group. So how do you establish that kind of connection with the rest of the cast? Is that through knowing them personally? What is that experience like? And do you feel any pressure to kind of come in to an already established series?
It's definitely different. Coming from Love, Victor, I came in the middle of the second season. So everyone had kind of already established their own like dynamics and in friendships and relationships outside of the show. So it was a little bit different coming onto a show as one of like the first cast. And especially like there's, you know, something to say about being cast during a pandemic. You don't get to meet anybody until you're there. So it is a little bit of a risk, but I do have to attest the success of this chemistry you're seeing with our cast to our casting department, David Rappaport, Lindsay Baldessari. They did a great job finding, interviewing and like sourcing these actors who they felt would be the best fit for everybody. I think a lot of that has to, you know, be accredited towards, you know, the casting and, you know, the producers making that decision at the end of the day. But, you know, they can always make those decisions and you never know what can happen when we're all there. So it's all just a lot of luck. It's a lot of, you know, people just coming in without egos and being very like open to the idea of creating something away from home. We filmed it all the way in South Korea. So it was like, you know, we're all in this together and we all had the same goal of just like finishing the job and doing the best that we can. And we didn't let anything like attitude or ego get in the way of that. So it was very easy to kind of like fall into this cast and mesh really well with them. And, you know, it was a little, you know, there was always going to be some hiccups, some speed bumps, but it was really easy to work with these actors. They were all really amazing to learn from and to guide through and to like learn this whole new experience together with. So
yeah, that's really great to hear. And you mentioned a really interesting aspect of this show where you guys got to film overseas. So what was that experience like filming in South Korea? Did you pick up any Korean while you were there? How long were you guys there? What was that experience like?
We were there, I want to say 3.5 months, like 14-ish weeks. That was definitely something I've never experienced before. I've acted since I was 5 years old, and there's only so many places you usually, you know, go to work. And those places are usually LA, Atlanta, and Vancouver. And I had checked all of those boxes. So never in my life did I think my career would take me to Seoul, South Korea, ever, truly. But it happened, and it was definitely an experience. I did pick up some Korean. You mean you have to when you're, you know, left your own devices in a foreign country, like you can't help but pick up a few words. Don't ask me to speak any, but I can order some food at a restaurant. So that's pretty much it. It was a completely different experience to filming like Love, Victor on the Fox lot here in LA. This was very different. They don't have like a lot of studio lot spaces in South Korea like we do here. So they had to like kind of be creative What we did was we, and I could be completely wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure this is what happened. There was like a studio lot-ish that was used for like commercials and game shows, because those are big, I think, in South Korea. So we used that lot and built all of our, you know, interior sets there. So it was really interesting because it didn't feel like, you know, the Paramount lot or the Fox lot. It felt different, but we still made it work, and it all, you know, came together perfectly. And a lot of it was on location too. So you get to see a lot of Seoul, a lot of, you know, what Korean nightlife would look like. So it was very different. It was, I thought, having done this since I was a kid, I knew everything I needed to know about, you know, acting or being on a series, but this proved otherwise. And I definitely learned a lot of new things and had to adjust and adapt, because it is very different. There's a language barrier as well. Most of our crew was locally hired from South Korea. So it was a lot of language barrier, a lot of like learning curve kind of things. But you know, we all, you know, hunkered down and we all got it done. But it was definitely a challenge.
That's really interesting to hear about. But like I said, it seems like it all came together really well. I don't know if you know this, but over in South Korea, was there buzz about the To All the Boys I've Loved series? I know you kind of have to keep it on the down low when you're actually filming, but
yeah.
Have you heard from fans in South Korea just on social media that they're really excited? What, do you know how big Netflix is over there compared to here?
I know that Korea is one of the largest audiences for Netflix, and America or North America being like number one. So I knew that like a show like this would be popular amongst Koreans, especially because half of the dialogue within our show is Korean and most of our cast is Korean. So a lot of the show is revolving around, you know, a lot of Korean cultural themes and a lot of, you know, what it's like to live in a society like Seoul.
That's really fascinating. I'm wondering, since you mentioned all the places that you've gotten to check out the boxes of where you filmed before, and this is a new experience, do you have a dream place that you would love to film next, if you could pick anywhere in the world to film?
Oh my God. I would love if my job took me to Europe. I've never been, so I think that would be a really cool one to film out there, anywhere really. I'm just here for the ride. Wherever you want to put me, as long as I get to do my job, I don't really care. But I think it'd be really cool if I got to go to Europe for a project one day.
That's great. I'll start campaigning for next season of Emily in Paris.
Yeah, let me guess. I'll be there. I'll show up. I promise.
So let's get back to talking about your character, Q. I wanted to know, how did you find the character, or how did you figure out how you were going to play this character? One thing that we're really excited about is that it seems like Q becomes fast friends with Kitty and Florian and a lot of the other characters in the show. So you talked a little bit about the closeness of the cast, but how did you internally find the character and figure out how you were going to play him?
I had a lot of time to think about it, actually. I remember the audition process, from the time that I like sent in my first tape to the time that I like closed my deal, it was about 5 months. So I had a lot of time to think about this, and I wanted to approach it differently than, you know, Raheem on Love, Victor. Q has a lot of similarities to him, but a lot of differences as well. So I wanted to be strategic about how he approached his relationships, how he kind of like what secrets he kept and like what he wanted to, you know, put on the table for his friends and stuff. I think I did a okay job at like differentiating the two characters, but you'll have to check out the rest of the series to see how I do, because I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I have yet to see the series, but just from what I've heard from people that have seen the series, I give you a thumbs up. So
thanks. Thank you. I always hate talking about like my own performances. It's kind of like looking at baby pictures and stuff, because it's like, that's what I looked like, or that's what I said, you know?
Yeah, but I think a lot of actors definitely go through that and relate to that. But also as fans, we love hearing about like the process too. We know that, you know, some actors they go method, some actors they get very experimental. So it's always interesting to hear a different actor's approach.
I mean, I definitely wasn't going method for Q. I think he's pretty straightforward. I think what I kind of wanted to do was just work on his mannerisms, because he's a jock and I've never played a jock before in my life. I've never really been athletic until recently. I've gotten into fitness. So it was definitely like something I had to get used to like playing, because I'd never like really been that in real life. So that was very different for me, but it was kind of exciting to like dip my toes into like the mindset of someone else, or someone that I like, you know, probably would have avoided in high school. So it was kind of cool to like get in the mind of someone like that, who like puts fitness and health for like first always, and is also very like down to earth and extremely emotionally intuitive, and you know, wants the best for all of his friends.
Interesting. Also, since you mentioned like the physical aspects of your character being a jock, did you have to do any fitness while you were there? Did you have to do any fitness in preparation?
I've been training, like weight training and stuff for like a year and a half now. So it kind of like came at the right time, where I think people are gonna see a difference in like my appearance from, I know there was a line in Le Victor season 2 where I referred to myself as a fruity bean pole, because I was very like thin and not like jock like I guess, but I've put on a little bit of weight and I've been working out a little bit, so I think people are probably gonna see a difference in like me physically. So I don't know.
Well, it's interesting how we keep going back to your character on Love, Victor, because I think a lot of people, they're going to be looking for similarities. Maybe they'll notice some, and they'll notice a lot of differences as well. We were also really fascinated by how this, not only how this show is different or how this character is different, but there a lot of people have not so much expectations, but there's a lot of differences between characters that have been established as like the gay best friend trope. So what would you say about how either this character is different or what fans can expect from that? I guess this is also kind of going back to the relationship between your character and Kitty and what that's like and what's unique about that.
I like to say that like Kitty and Q's relationship is very like a brother and sister kind of a way. They're the same age, but I would say Q in a way is a little bit like an older brother. He's been at KISS longer than Kitty. So he's kind of like, you know, showing her the ropes a little bit, letting her know that things aren't as serious as she might make them seem. I don't think Q is like your everyday like gay best friend necessarily. I know what that trope is like. And I think Q definitely serves more of a purpose to the storyline than just being, you know, the gay best friend or the whatever. I think he's definitely a lot more layered and has a lot more complexities than your traditional gay best friend. And I think Kitty leans on Q more than the other way around a lot of times, which is not really something that you see with like that gay best friend trope. It's not all fun as like the GBF makes it seem. So I think that can definitely be considered a difference, something that can differentiate this dynamic with like the traditional trope of that. So
very interesting. Yeah, I think that's one thing that viewers are also really gonna take away from the show, is I think they're gonna notice the differences and how, like you said, how like the gay best friend could sometimes be based in like the funny one or the jokes or the comedic take, but seeing it from like an emotional standpoint, I think is going to really resonate with people.
Yeah. And I think what's, well, I don't want to say Q's gay because nothing's really been like confirmed, but I know that like Q is definitely queer, but it's not like, it's not, you know, something that he puts on his chest. Like, I'm queer. Like, it's not something that people really pay attention to, which I think is really nice, because we definitely see a lot of like coming out stories and, you know, struggling to find acceptance, and everyone just kind of like knows that Q is queer and doesn't really bring it up. And I think that's really cool that queer people can see that it can be normalized, and it's not something that you necessarily have to address all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's 2023. We don't have to call it just like the gay best friend trope to be like,
yeah, he's her best
friend. At the very least, the queer best friend kind of thing. Yeah. At least include all of that and people that are on.
It's her best friend who likes boys and others.
We're excited to see, obviously, like Kitty's love life, and Kitty so much so was obsessed with like large. I don't want to say obsessed, but she's very invested in her sister's lives.
Yeah.
And so now it's interesting to see how she's going to be with friends her age and her counterparts mm-hmm. and their love lives. Can you give us a little preview about whether it's how she is interested in your character's love life or her own? What can people expect as far as like the romantic aspect of the series? Because I think a lot of people that were familiar with the movies, I think they're gonna, or the rom-com lovers, I think they're gonna really come to this show with not certain expectations, but I think they're definitely gonna be looking for like the romantic aspect. So is there anything that you could teach from that element?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what our show's about. So we're not lacking in that department. As far as Kitty goes, when we've seen Kitty before, she's always lived vicariously through, you know, the people that she's matchmaking. And we still see that side of her in Exo Kitty. We see, you know, where she, you know, the roots of where Kitty came from, definitely, because she still has that in her. That's like her, she's a self-proclaimed matchmaker through and through. However, this time she's a little bit older, and so, you know, she's exploring, and whatever that entails. She's curious about things, obviously. When you're a junior in high school, you're trying to figure stuff out, and that's exactly what we get to see with Kitty. She is not only figuring herself out, but she's figuring herself out in a new country with like people who don't really speak her language. So not only that, she doesn't have her parents back home to watch over her, so she's a little bit more, you know, unsupervised. So she gets into, like, you know, she gets into trouble here and there, but that's what her friends are for, to, like, get her out of it. So I'm excited for the audience to see, like, this new side of Kitty, a little bit more grown up and a little bit more mature and a little bit more adventurous. So, yeah.
Very fun. Yeah, we're definitely all looking forward to that aspect. And with that, I kind of want to ask you a couple of like rapid fire questions that are on the lighter side. So what's your favorite snack at Crafty?
Oh my gosh. See, it's different because the Crafty in South Korea was completely different than the Crafty that we have here. Seaweed chips. That was one thing. The seaweed, like the dried seaweed chips.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like that's big over there. And I actually like them. I liked them before I went out there. So seeing that was like, oh, that's a little familiar. So seaweed chips. This is going to sound terrible, but I can eat a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers in one sitting.
Let me tell you, that is way easier than people give it credit for. You go in wanting like two of them. And then all of a sudden, so from experience, I get where you're coming from.
Okay, I'm glad we're seeing each other here. but yeah, I love like salty stuff when I'm on set, like nuts, something salty usually. So yeah.
I'm realizing like I introduce these questions as like rapid fire. And then whenever I ask-
We're going really in depth right now.
Always like, oh, there's so many answers. So maybe I should start with a lighter one, but we started pretty heavy with the Crafty one. So
yeah.
What does a day look like on the set for when you're filming Exo Kitty?
A typical day will start, we stayed in a hotel. So I would wake up in the hotel and I would go down to the basement level parking garage and get in the van. And sometimes there were other actors or, you know, the directors or someone else on the show that would be in the van. Or sometimes I would have the van to myself, which was nice because then I would nap. And then we would drive to set. And sometimes set was, you know, the soundstage that we were filming at, or it was on location. And a lot of times we were on location like a couple hours away. Wow. So it was a long drive, but it was cool because we get to see, like, you know, the cityscape and, you know, nature and stuff in a different country. We'd get set. We would sometimes take a COVID test. We'd either take a COVID test on set or do an at-home COVID test. Just depends on the day. We would get into hair and makeup, which would take about an hour for me. The girls might take an hour and a half. We'd start rehearsing. We'd look at our lines for the day. We'd rehearse, we'd film a scene, which would probably take about 3 hours. And then we would, you know, have lunch, film another scene. And then we'd be done after like 12 hours. And then we'd have a 2-hour drive home. And then we'd get back to our hotel and then we'd do it all again 8 hours later. That was the day in the life of working on ExoKitty.
Very cool. It definitely sounds like, you know, quite the ride.
Definitely. It was a lot more challenging than I was used to. But again, like, when you have a bunch of Americans filming in South Korea, there's going to be some hiccups. There's a lot of like miscommunication or like timing stuff. But it was really cool to like see how everyone came together and figured it out. It was really cool actually to see how well like our AD team, who only pretty much spoke Korean, was working with our American AD team and how like quickly they were able to, you know, mesh and get everything done. So yeah, it was interesting. It was very cool though.
Nice. What is your go-to Starbucks order? And do you think Hugh has a go-to Starbucks order?
Oh gosh. My go-to Starbucks order would be an almond matcha latte. I love matcha. I don't really like coffee. I'm very sensitive to caffeine, but I think Q is kind of like intense, like physically, academically. So I think he would get like a triple shot latte or something crazy. But actually, no, Q would get an Americano because in Korea, everyone loves Americanos. I don't know why, because they're so bitter, but everyone loves Americanos in Korea. So I feel like Q would have an Americano.
Interesting. I've been hearing a lot recently about how Europe and Asia and people will talk about how their coffee preferences are different from our coffee preferences, and I wouldn't have thought that it would have been that different, but it seems like they're very different, so it's interesting to see the contrast.
Yeah, I was like, they don't really do lattes out there. They also don't do milk substitutions in a lot of places. They're very dairy oriented in South Korea, which was a little bit of a struggle for me because I'm lactose intolerant and vegan. So
I know the struggle.
I would have to like buy my own almond milk and then bring it to a cafe and like steam this instead. But then it was just like really confusing. So I was like, I'll just take an Americano. Thank you.
It's weird how they're dairy oriented, but they also aren't big on lattes.
Yeah. I don't know. They just did not have any substitution. They didn't have coconut milk, almond milk, oat milk. Like, it was a lot of milk out there.
Yeah. Here, it's like we almost have too many choices, so.
I think so, too. I really think it should just be, like, one milk option and one non-milk option. Let's just stick with the one, because when it's, like, I honestly can't tell the difference between oat and almond milk, if I'm being honest. So, I don't know why one's more expensive than the other.
But I can't say how these are supposed to be like the rapid fire questions and we're having like real deep.
And we're getting really in depth, right? But I appreciate it because I don't really get to talk about this kind of stuff often.
I could talk about, you and I will have to personally talk about like the woes that come with being lactose intolerant in a very like coffee obsessed kind of culture. So
happy to.
More questions that the fans will be more interested in. Here's an interesting one. So the show is called ExoKitty, and a lot of our fans are familiar with Gossip Girl, which has a famous XOXO Gossip Girl sign off. Mm. If you were going to write your own love letters like Lara Jean in this series, would you have an interesting sign off like that? What do you think your sign off would be?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard one.
Or even we like to say, like, if you could pick, like, three emojis or something, or an emoji to pick as a sign off to.
Let me look at my emojis right now. Are we talking about me personally or Q?
Let's do one of each. What's an emoji that you would pick, and what's an emoji that Q would pick?
Okay, I'm gonna write them down and I'm gonna show you them, okay?
Okay.
So for me, okay, this one would be mine. Oh wait, hold on. The crazy two hearts and the signing off. Let's see what Q's would be. Okay, yeah, we're making progress here. This is cool. Yeah. Okay, this one would be Q's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I see that for sure.
So yeah, that would be a sign off for me and for Q.
Nice.
What would you say is something that we talked a little bit about forming the character, but there's a trend that our fans really like that is called the get ready with me trend. If you had to do like a quick get ready with me trend about how you get into character as Q, what would that consist of? Does it consist of like some music playing in the background, some rituals? What would that look like?
Honest to God, to like get into my character, I would do like a quick like 10-15 minute full body workout, like jumping jacks, squats, like sit-ups, because I feel like Q is always in a state of like constant pump. Like he's always like working out. I think there's like 3 episodes where I'm like in a scene where I'm literally just working out. So I think that's probably what I would do. Like what I would do, that is what I would do. And I would also listen to music. I would listen to a lot of K-pop actually.
Perfect for the setting.
Right, which I never like really got into before. But I remember like being on the plane and I bought the Wi-Fi on the plane. So it's like a 14-hour flight. So I was like looking up all these different like K-pop bands and I was getting into it. And so I had like 10, maybe 8 or 10 like BTS, Blackpink, 50/50 songs like on my playlist that would just like play on repeat during that little workout situation. So that's what I would, that's my get ready with me, to play Q on EXO Kitty.
Awesome. That's a great answer. I love that.
Thank you.
Cool. So that wraps up all the questions that I have for you. We're all really excited to meet your new character and get to see you in a new role and get to see this new setting in the To All the Boys series. Cool. Well, I really enjoyed hearing all about the series and the process and getting to see you again as this new character after our journey with Love, Victor.
I really
appreciated you taking the time to speak with us. We're all really, really excited about the series and congratulations on all your
success. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm excited that you're excited. So thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Always so fun to talk to you guys. And I'm so glad I got to see you again.
I know. It's so great to see you too. Again, congrats. Yeah. I feel like that was, feels like a century ago, but
I feel like it was at least 2 years ago. Cause that was,
yeah,
it might've been like 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And now you've been to South Korea and back and
yeah, here we are. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Awesome. Me too. Thank you so much. Like I said, for taking the time to speak with me and fingers crossed we get to speak with you again real soon in the future. We're looking forward to the premiere of the show.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Have a great day. And thanks so much for taking the time.
Okay. Bye. I'm Anthony Cabon. Thank you so much for watching. And don't forget to subscribe to Young Entertainment Mag.